Bell Hooks was an African American author, poet, feminist, professor, and activist. She was born Gloria Jean Watkins in Hopkinsville, Kentucky in 1952. Bell Hooks is her pen name that she borrowed from her maternal great-grandmother, Belle Blair Hooks, whom she deeply admired for her willingness to always speak her mind. Hooks says that she grew up between the hills and the segregated city, and those experiences informed her later writings. She credits her commitment to self-determination and dissident speech to the cultural ethos of the Kentucky backwoods, of the hillbilly country folk who, she says, were my ancestors and my kin. Hooks' first book, Ain't I a Woman? Black Women and Feminism, was published in 1981 after she received her doctorate degree from the University of California, Santa Cruz. She went on to write over 30 books, as well as many other articles and works of poetry, writing about issues related to racism, sexism, and classism. Hooks understood the impact of intersectionality long before it was called that. And in 2020, Time magazine honored her with its 100 Women of the Year, dubbing Hooks a rare rock star of public intellectual. And if you're a fan of the Ted Lasso series, you may recognize Bell Hooks' name from the most recent episode, as one of the lead characters turns to Bell Hooks' writings as she wrestles with what it means to be a feminist and her own feminist identity. In 2000, Bell Hooks' book, All About Love, was published. And in the preface of this book, she writes, "When I was a child, it was clear to me that life was not worth living if we didn't know love. I wish I could testify that I came to this awareness because of the love I felt in my life. But it was love's absence that let me know how much love mattered." She goes on to write, "The world of the present was no longer a world open to love. I heard testimony all around me that lovelessness had become the order of the day. I feel our nation's turning away from love as intensely as I felt love's abandonment in my girlhood. Turning away, we risk moving into a wilderness of spirit so intense that we may never find our way home again," she warns. And she says, "I write of love to bear witness to both the danger in this movement and the call for a return to love." Reading these words over 25 years later, I am struck by how eerily they still ring true. In her book, Bell Hooks redefines a vision of what love can be. And Hooks is not the first to contemplate or write about love. The subject of love is not new, and it's one that has been explored for centuries. It has been the subject of great works of art, poetry, songs, and more. In the early Christian church, during the time when Christians were still wrestling with what it meant to call themselves Christian, the Apostle Paul wrote of love in his letter to the church in Corinth. And those words were the inspiration for our first hymn. In his letter, Paul wrote that words spoken, actions engaged in, Sacrifices made without love are meaningless. Love was the starting place for all else. As Hook explores this age-old topic, she identifies one of the problems in talking about love is that we lack a common understanding of what we mean. Most of us refer to love as a feeling, a noun, something we have that we can possess. But Hook challenges us to see it differently, to see love as a verb, as something that we do, something that has action and movement. In her writing, she draws on the work of M. Scott Peck, who also echoed the work of Erich Fromm. Peck defines love as the will to extend oneself for the purpose of nurturing one's own or another's spiritual growth. And Hook tells us that if the term spiritual is not something that resonates with your theology, to think instead of that dimension of our core reality, where mind, body, and spirit are one. Hook writes that Peck continues to explain further that love is as love does. Love is an act of will, both an intention and an action. Will also implies choice. We do not have to love. We choose to love. When we think of love in this way, it is more than an emotion, more than a feeling. Love is something that we can choose to engage in time and time again, even when we might not, or perhaps especially when we do not have feelings of love for someone. When I think of love in this way, Hook reminds us that it naturally leads to more accountability and responsibility. We often think of the ways that we feel as being beyond our control. Something happens, certain feelings arise within us. But it is what we do next, how we respond, that we can control. We can choose to move forward from a place of love. We can act in ways that bring more equity and justice to our world. This way of thinking about love as something that we do, as an action, leads to what bell hooks calls a love ethic. A love ethic, she writes, presupposes that everyone has the right to be free, to live fully and well. Commitment to a love ethic transforms our lives by offering us a different set of values to live by. This idea was echoed by the Article 2 Study Commission, who saw this when they envisioned a new way for articulating our Unitarian Universalist values. When they envisioned love firmly at the center. This process of examining and redefining our values is the embodiment of what it means to be a living tradition. And as Unitarian Universalists, we are open to change, and we recognize that our understanding of the world and our place in it will shift and evolve. Not only do we acknowledge it, but we plan for it. When I reflect on the image that's come to represent those values, that image of a flower with love placed right at the center, the idea of an ethic of love that bell hooks wrote about is what I too envision when we say that we hold love at the center. This love ethic is the foundation for all else. It is the core, the place from which all else flows. The other values of pluralism, generosity, interdependence, equity, justice, and transformation all grow out of that love ethic. But not only do they grow out of love, just as the colors of the flower image circle around each value, love too embraces and holds our values. If we think of love as a verb, as a way of showing up in the world, then love calls each of us to live these values in big and small ways every day. This is no small task, and it is not always easy, especially in a world such as today's. A world which hateful insults and verbal attacks have become normalized and even viewed by some as entertainment. The civil discussions of our and debates among our elected officials are few and far between, and in their place is an atmosphere of finger-pointing, vengeance, and retribution. All of this is aimed at dividing us, sowing seeds of distrust and pulling us further and further apart. In the midst of this swirling chaos, that our faith calls us to choose love. What a truly profound and challenging call. One way that we can attempt to do this is to ask ourselves in any moment, what is the most loving thing I can do right now? When I am unsure of what to do next, I try to remind myself that I don't need to do it all, which is really hard when the world feels like it's on fire. I used to ask myself, what is the next right thing to do? But deciding what is right these days sometimes feels like an impossible task. And so instead I ask, what is the most loving thing I can do in this moment? Love may be calling us to care for those within our community, to show them that they are seen, heard, known. Love asks us to care for those who may be sick or hurting, those who are struggling or in need of support, in whatever way that may be. And we do this not to make ourselves feel better, but so that they know they are not alone. Sometimes love calls us to simply be present, to witness the story, the pain, the experience of another, to not turn away. Love may be calling us to work toward repairing broken relationships, to engaging in difficult conversations. Love may be asking us to show up for justice in the streets, at the state house, at the school board meetings, at federal, state, and local levels. We have all witnessed over the last year the protests and rallies in many places, in Minneapolis, in New Jersey, in Washington, D.C., on overpasses, and in local town squares. And maybe you even participated in some of these. Each protest, each rally, is love's response to unjust treatment, to the killings of people at the hands of ICE agents. It is love's response to the attempts to strip away our rights and to dehumanize people. In each of these moments, love showed up in the bodies of those who were present and refused to allow hate to have the last word. And bell hooks reminds us that we must also love ourselves. There are times when the next most loving thing we can do is to love ourselves. Sometimes it's hard to know that we need to take time to tend to our own needs. There are those moments when all we can do is care for ourselves, and this too is an act of love. It is not always easy or comfortable to respond to what love asks of us. and there are often risks involved. It also redefines our vision of what love looks like. When we think of love as a verb, an ethic, then love is not always soft or quiet. Love can call us to make a noise, to be the voice, to take positions and set boundaries that may feel tenuous, shaky, uncertain. The Reverend Sean Parker Dennison describes this version of love in their poem, To Invoke Love. And I'll close with that poem today. To invoke love is to ask for a hug from a thunderstorm. Spill the tea in the lap of the infinite trickster. To make the biggest, most embarrassing mistake of your life in front of everyone who matters. To invoke love is never to know if it will come softly with the nuzzle of a beloved dog, or a pounce right on your chest with the strength of a lioness protecting her cub, her pride, her homeland. To invoke love is to take the risk of inviting chaos to visit the spaces you spent so much time making tidy, and watch as the breath of life scatters everything you just folded and put away. To invoke love is to allow for the possibility that your words and actions might become so empowered that you can no longer believe in apathy or the self-righteous idea that nothing can change. To invoke love is to give up self-deprecation, false humility, pride, to consider yourself worthy to be made whole, willing to encounter love that will never let us let each other go. To invoke love is to guard against assumptions, take care with our words, and practice forgiveness, not as an ethereal idea, but right here, now, in the messy midst of our imperfect lives. To invoke love is to approach each day and every person with wonder. Anticipating love's arrival. Is this the moment? Is this love's grand entrance? Is this person the embodiment of love? Am I the one? To invoke love is to play the fool, the one more concerned with loving than with appearance or reputation. The one ready and willing to be vulnerable, abandoning anything that gets in love's way. To invoke love is to be ready to become love, here, now, in everything we do. Are you ready?